It's Monday, March 6, 2009, and you're listening to The Apple Juice Show. If you're interested in sponsoring The Apple Juice Show, please email sales@applejuiceshow.com. Hello and welcome to the 33rd episode of The Apple Juice Show. I'm George Drake, host and producer of The Apple Juice Show. You can find us on the web at applejuiceshow.com. Email us sales@applejuiceshow.com for sponsorship, and email us info@applejuiceshow.com for any questions, comments, anything you have for us. So, we got today Colin Tony on the line.
Hello there.
And so, Colin, what is your website?
I am over at specialcolin.com.
All right, that's great. Great website. I love Colin's website. So if you haven't checked it out yet, go ahead over there and check it out while you're listening to this show and check it out. It's a really cool site. I mean, so once again, we have Colin on here. Last episode, we had a couple other people on here. We had Jordan on here. That was the last episode we did, Colin. I've been feeling sick since then. I mean, I'm still sick. I got a sinus infection, and you know how that is, Colin. So it's not fun. So I'm still sick. So it's actually going to be really cool because it's going to be a play-by-play of what happened on Monday, March 3rd, or actually it was Tuesday, March 3rd, 2009. So Monday in the afternoon, March 2nd, a bunch of blogs say, all right, we think there's going to be some new computers tomorrow, and they're going to have some updates for the Mac Mini and the iMac. And so, well, Tuesday comes along, Tuesday morning when I wake up, which is Eastern time around 7 o'clock. As usual, it's a Tuesday. The Apple Store is down because of something new. So, what was released? Colin, I don't know if you know this or not, but there's a couple of updates. So, what was released? 20-inch iMac, 2.66, 2 gigabytes of RAM, 320 gigabytes of SD. Then we got three 24-inch iMacs. The three 24-inch iMacs, that is 2.66, 4 gigabytes of RAM, 640 gigabyte hard drive. The next one is 2.93, same configuration. The biggest one is the iMac 24-inch, 3.06 gigahertz, 4 gigabytes of RAM, 1 terabyte. Very, very big. And, you know, the prices are great now. So we've got the standard 20-inch at priced at $1,200. And then the 24-inch, the lowest 24-inch is $1,500. I'm not surprised. I mean, that's a good price for, I mean, I'm interested in buying, and that's a reasonable price for me. So
you're absolutely.
I mean, Colin, I think that's a great price for you too, isn't it?
Oh, it's not like that they're dropping their prices. It's that they're raising up the value of the iMacs to like beyond what they're actually charging. I mean, I don't think I can find a good, like a computer as good as an iMac for that much.
Yeah. And besides 24 inches, I'm on a 22 right now. I mean, imagine having 2 extra inches on the screen. I mean, that'll be great. So hopefully soon we'll be seeing one of those on my desk for recording these episodes. The Mac Mini, they were said to go to 2.0 gigahertz, $100 drop. So what we saw was the Mac Minis are new. So we got a 2.0 gigahertz, 1 gigabyte of RAM, 120 hard drive, and a 320 hard drive. The prices for the minis. So we got the higher configuration is with 320 gigabytes, comes with 2 gigabytes of RAM, 320 hard drive, and that's priced at $800. The other one, the lower end configuration, is priced at $600. So, what do you significantly like about the Mac Mini? I mean, would you ever consider purchasing a Mac Mini?
I've actually considered purchasing a Mac Mini for a long time. I mean, I'm one of those people that have transitioned from using a PC to a Mac, and I think that would be a great thing for anyone who is transitioning from a PC to a Mac if they're not wanting to just go out and buy a laptop. Because all the PC users, they already have the monitor, they have the keyboard, they've got the mouse, they've got everything already. And they don't want to get, like, another monitor, and because monitors are just so much of a hassle to get rid of. I mean, especially those huge CRT ones, and then just getting, another little box, a tiny box at that, it's a great thing for anybody that has a little bit of little bit of desk space, but they already have all the things that they need.
So they also added FireWire 800, which we're seeing a lot of the FireWire 800 more than the 400. I mean, I have 400 and I bought cables because I was expecting to get a MacBook Pro for Christmas, this Christmas. I didn't, but I actually went out and bought the 9-pin, the FireWire 800. So I have a couple FireWire 800 to 400 because I have some of my products, like one of my hard drives actually. Has FireWire 400. So what I bought is the cable from the hard drive to a FireWire 800, which is a 9-pin. So I can use that hard drive. But also they added the mini DisplayPort, which is a nice feature. So on the Mac Mini, we can actually have two screens, which I think would be great. I mean, if I purchased a Mac Mini, I would actually put. And we got five USB ports, which is great because I'm. Mostly Apple's I think none of Apple's products have more than like three like the laptops, the three USBs. Because the 17 inch has a three, and the standard Mac Pros and the MacBooks have only two. This is a great update. I don't know how many. Do you remember how many the older Mac Minis had?
I want to say that they had four. Either three or four, I want to say. I really don't remember off my head, to be honest.
All right. So, also, they have added... what's surprisingly they revealed is the Mac Pros updated alongside with a new ATI Radeon HD 4870 graphics card. The Mac Pro specs reveal the following specs. Mac Pro 2.26, 8-core, I believe. So the specs here. The quad-core is 2.66 hertz quad-core Intel Xeon. The how do you pronounce that? The Helium processor?
I think that's about right.
3 gigabytes of memory, 640 gigabyte hard drive, 18x double layer super drive, NVIDIA GeForce GT 120 with a 512 megabytes. That's priced at $2,500. That's not bad for a Mac Pro.
Yeah.
I priced out a really good MacBook, and that was a little expensive. Now we have.
Well, whenever you're configuring a Mac Pro, it's going to end up being expensive.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a MacBook user like us, you start out with such a little bit, and then you start dreaming, and then you just take off from there, and then I'm going to be paying $15,000 for that?
Yeah. And we got the 8-core, which is 2.6 gigahertz quad-core Intel Xeon Helium processors, 6 gigabytes of memory, 640 gigabyte hard drive, 18x double-layer super drive, the NVIDIA GeForce GT 120, and that's priced at $3,300, which is way out of my price range right now. And Colin, is it way out of your price range?
Oh, it's been that way out of my price range. As long as I've had a bank account, it's been out of my price range.
All right. Also, Apple updated the AirPort Extreme Base Station and the Time Capsule. I mean, so let me tell you, once I saw this and I read it, I said, this is the perfect thing for me, you know, because I was actually talking to my dad about this the other day. I was wanting to have an N network, but have my iPhone on it. So basically, what you're not, the AirPort base station and the time capsule are now offering simultaneously 2.4 gigahertz and 5 gigahertz dual band networking for optimal performance, range, and compatibility. The new models also offer the ability to set up a secondary internet-only Wi-Fi to allow family and friends to access the internet without giving them the password to the primary network and allowing them access to network drives and other printers and everything like that. Finally, the Time Capsule offers MobileMe members to allow the ability to access files on their device's hard drive over the internet from anywhere. Now, I don't know if this is with just the Time Capsule or the airport base station, but hopefully it's with the airport base station, because once I heard this, I went out and purchased I went online and purchased one. So I'm selling my old base station, which is only like 3 weeks old. So if anybody, I put it up on eBay. So if anybody see the link and are interested, go out and bid on it on eBay. So that's priced the same. Also, Apple has quietly increased the processors of the speed on the mid-range 15-inch MacBook Pro from 2.53 gigahertz to 2.66 gigahertz, and the top-of-the-line models from 2.8 gigahertz to 2.93 gigahertz. The change is unlikely to be noticed in the day-to-day operation of the distinct modification from the original release. They have also begun offering a 256 solid-state drive upgrade options on the 13-inch aluminum MacBook and the 15-inch MacBook Pro as well. Meanwhile, they are now offering a wired keyboard without the numeric pad, which I would love. And that option is available for $50. So I would mm-hmm. love that. I mean, because I hate the big keyboard. It's big. I have a problem with my Bluetooth. And so I can't use a wireless keyboard. And the wireless keyboard, I love the wireless keyboard because it's small. But I hate the big one. But I now notice that I do use the numeric keypad sometimes.
That's the one problem I would have, because I do use the numeric keypad on my keyboard probably every day. But I don't really... I mean, if you're conscious on space, this would definitely be good. I know, like, with my keyboard, I definitely need more space on my desk. It does not offer me any space whatsoever, because I have like maybe an inch or two for my mouse, but that would definitely help out on space.
I mean, you could always get a USB keypad, like, you know how they have the numeric keypads like separate.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And then put that wherever you want.
Yeah. So the simultaneous dual band support. It operates simultaneously on both 5 gigahertz, which is 802.11n, and 2.4 gigahertz 802.11b and g frequencies to allow all wireless products to connect in the dual band in the best available band. On previous models, users wishing to permit the 802.11b and g devices, such as many older Macs and iPhone and iPod touches, to connect to their access network and run in a mixed mode at 2.4 negating with some performance benefits of the 802.11n enabled devices running on 5 gigahertz networks. So the guest networking, I think it's pretty cool, because I have family come over and I have to give them my password and I have to allow them to get on my network. Now they can see my hard drives and they can see my movies and I mean everything I have on my hard drive, you know?
Yeah, and it's definitely much better for people living in like a tight neighborhood or in an apartment building. Cause I mean, I know I lived in an apartment for a little while and I used to live in a tight neighborhood, and you're definitely getting other people's wireless, networks, and definitely boosts up your security. So you can have your network secure, but you're not being like a jackass to all the people that are living around you.
Now I don't know if you guys know, if you guys have heard of Mike Cohen from Mac Megasite. He wrote a blog post about it, saying that he actually lends his wireless to a snowbird that comes down to where, I mean, they have like, he has a neighbor that's a snowbird and comes down for the winter to Florida. And so he actually, lets him use it. So now this is going to be great for him, because he can just set up a guest network and have when his snowbird comes down, he just gives him the wireless guest account, and I mean he's set.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's definitely helpful to, like, I mean, I like to share my network. I'll be honest about that. I mean, I have my beliefs on the internet being free and all other stuff, which is another topic for another time for another fight. But I mean, I like to let someone else, you know, if they don't already have internet, they probably can't afford it. But I think they should be able to have access to it, basically.
So actually, we could. I wonder if the guest networking would actually allow you to show how much put a cap on how much they can use.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
That would be cool, because then I don't want someone coming out here and like using my guest networking, and then coming in like torrenting and downloading all this crap.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that you'd be able to block certain ports and probably disallow some things. And I mean, it would still be like a normal network.
Now,
but it'd be separate.
Another thing I bought it for is the allow files on network drive from anywhere. Because I don't want to carry around like 5 hard drives with different files on it. I can have 1 hard drive with different partitions on. And I could have them, backed up on my network. I already have a hard drive. Now, I just need to get a bigger hard drive and then put it in different partitions, like password protect my files, and then have my other family have their own files. And then, so, actually, I was reading another post, and it says that it allows MobileMe subscribers, which I am a proud MobileMe subscriber, to register their airport, Extreme base station, or time capsule with their MobileMe account, providing them to access files from anywhere via the internet. The drives will appear in the Finder's sidebar like any other attached drive, acting like a personal file server with remote access. So that I'm going to like. That and the simultaneous dual band support are my two favorites that I really like. Also, we were actually, when we recorded the episode before Con that didn't turn out too good, we talked about the Kindle. What's your take on the Kindle? What do you think about it?
I've heard some good things, and I've yet to hear anything bad about it, really. There's, of course, when you're surfing the internet on it or whatever, it doesn't look as good, but what can you expect from the e-paper? And the only problem I have with it, although I have to actually test one to make an opinion about it, is that it's the e-paper, and whenever you have to flip a page or whatever, it has to flash that screen. And the last time I played with an e-paper device, it basically just gave me a big freaking headache.
Now what is an e-paper device, Colin?
An e-paper device, I might be using the wrong term, but it's basically e-paper to me. It's basically like an LCD screen, but when the screen's about to display something, it'll flash the screen with an electrical charge, and what's left would be the words of the page or like an image or whatever of, you know, what was flashed on there before. And what it does is after it flashes that, it can stay there because for whatever reason, I'm not completely fluent on that technology, but it stays there and it doesn't use any electrical charge after that until you flip the page or go back or whatever, and which really saves the battery life on the Kindle.
Interesting, interesting. Now, I know it's priced pretty high. What do you think about its price?
I think it's costly, but if you're a big reader, like if you're reading maybe 1 or 2 books a week, I mean, I actually know a couple of people that have been able to read a couple books a week, you'd be really saving some money. Because since the books only cost about $10 each, and it'll basically pay for itself after a little while, but you have to be able to read a lot.
$360 is, I mean, a very, very high price for such a device. I mean, I would understand the iPhone. I mean, and the iPhone is priced at $300-$400. I mean, that's priced more than the iPhone.
Yeah, it's not only just because you're getting, you know, whatever books you want, wherever you're wanting them. You're also getting pretty much internet everywhere for free. The Kindle has a EVDO off the Verizon network, I think, card built into it, so you can latch onto the wireless cloud wherever you are, and just buy a book, read your newspaper, or check your MySpace, I guess.
I don't think MySpace would look so good on
No, it does not look good on it. I've seen a couple pictures.
Well, soon after Apple released all these products, they allowed Amazon. Amazon actually released the free application that delivers Kindle book reading to the iPhone. Now, a Kindle on the iPhone. It allows the Apple iPhone or iPod Touch owners to read Kindle books using simple and easy-to-use interface. You can shop from hundreds of thousands of books at the Amazon.com/Kindle store and wirelessly transfer the books to your iPhone or iPod Touch. Now, you can enjoy these low prices on the Kindle books, including the New York Times bestsellers and most new releases, for $9.99, unless marked otherwise. So you can buy a book from your Mac, PC, or iPhone using a web browser and wirelessly transfer the books to your iPhone. You can read the first chapters of the book for free before you buy it. You can download the Kindle books you have already owned, and they automatically are backed up on Amazon.com. You can adjust the text size. You can add bookmarks, view annotations you created on the Kindle device. Now, the iPhone client will seamlessly allow to switch back and forth between the Kindle device and the Kindle for the iPhone while keeping the bookmarks and the reading location synced between devices, which I think is pretty cool. So I'm reading a book and on the Kindle, and I stop at page 200. And on the iPhone, last time I stopped on reading at page 180. I go on my iPhone, it says, "You left off on page 180 and your Kindle's on page 200. Would you like to go to page 200? It'll say, and you can accept to go to 200, or you can read the parts you missed, or which I think is great.
Yeah, that's definitely awesome, having, you know, seamless integration, you know, being able to go from one thing to another without having too much problems. It's definitely a plus that Amazon's having for the Kindle.
So I think it's great. So this has been actually a pretty good episode, Colin,
I'd say.
Let's do some plugs. Twitter.com/GDRAGE, G-D-R-A-G-E.
And I would be twitter.com/specialcolin. That's special K-O-L-I-N.
Yes, it would. Your website, Colin, where can we find you?
My website is just like my Twitter name. It would be specialcolin.com. And if you go to blog.specialcolin.com, you can listen to the latest episode of the Special Colin Says podcast, which features a slightly sick George Drage.
Thank you very much, Colin. You can find us on the web at applejuiceshow.com. Email us info@applejuiceshow.com. If you're interested in sponsoring us, we are looking for sponsors, or want to send us a review product, just email just info. I mean, it's the same email, sales@applejuiceshow.com for sponsors. And for reviews, it would be info@applejuiceshow.com. If you're wanting to have us review a product on the show, just email me, info@applejuiceshow.com again. Also, Twitter. If you're on Twitter, you see me twittering, and you say, "Hey, George, I want to talk to you about this." Twitter me, and we can talk over Skype or IM. This has been a great episode, 33 of the Apple Juice Show. Thank you very much for listening in. Yeah, we need those downloads, so if you're going to the site, please subscribe to it in iTunes. That's what really helps us. So thank you very much.